Church, let them know how glad you are to see them here today. Amen. How many of you can do that? Make a decision to not be negative. Amen. And when you feel yourself getting negative, how many of you know you can always feel it? When you feel yourself getting negative, immediately make adjustments. Immediately make adjustments. Now, that doesn't mean you don't see something in your life that you want to change or those types of things. No, it's good to change things. But don't be negative about even the things you're looking to change. Don't be negative about yourself. Don't be negative about life. No, anything that's negative just breeds more negativity. Amen. Be positive. And how can you be positive in a negative situation? Well, you've got a God who will take care of you. Amen. A Father who affectionately loves you. So put your trust in Him. Amen. Well, we're super excited to have you here in 2015. And we want to help you start your year off right. Today, I'm going to be real simple. Many of you probably know a lot of the things I'm going to be communicating. It's great to know it, but how many of you know you don't get any credit for knowing it? You only get credit for doing it. And so I want to inspire you to do some simple things that you know. There's power in simple things. Anything that is complicated is very hard to walk in and produce. And so with that, we want to be simple. And I want to be so simple that you're inspired to leave here to be incredibly disciplined with the things we're teaching because they are so simple. So I have a big idea. That's what I'm calling it for this sermon. It's just my one big point. If you don't get anything else at all today, just make sure you get this. This is my big idea. My big idea is on the screens. It says, write your goals and start the year off right by praying fervently over them. If you fall asleep after this, at least you got my big idea for the service. My big idea is I want you to write your goals down for this year. You would get extra credit if you just write down some life goals. But if nothing else, write down your goals for this year. And then I want to inspire you to start your year off right by praying, keyword, fervently for those goals and over them. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. On the screens, if you can go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. In your Bibles, we're looking at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, in your Bibles, Habakkuk 2, verse 2, on the screens. Now, we all know to start the year off right, or hopefully we know, to start the year off right by starting New Year's resolutions. I don't really call them New Year's resolutions. I call them goals. You could call it a vision for the year or a dream for the year, whatever it may be. But I want to inspire you to do even more than dream. I want you to inspire you to write your dreams down, to actually put it on paper. Here we see a beautiful scripture. This is one of my all-time favorites, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. And it tells us as believers to do something very specific. It says, and the Lord answered me and said, the Lord is speaking to him and to us, to write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, or to make it plain upon the thing you're writing it on, that you may run when you read it. Now go to verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie, meaning it will come to pass. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. It's a very interesting scripture. Go back up to verse 2, and let's look at this. The Lord said unto me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. Now, just leave that up there for me. Notice he says that all of us are called to have a vision. All of us are called to have a dream. So you have to start there. It's amazing to me how many people don't have a dream for their life. They just wake up and live life. They're not working towards anything. They're just working for survival. God never intended you to stay at the place where you're at. He intended you to have a successful journey, to be aiming for something, to be striving for something. A great scripture is over in the book of 3 John. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things," you know it, finish it out for me. "Beloved, I wish above all things that you" what? "Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And that word "prosper" there means to make success or progress on the journey. Meaning you're on a journey in this life. You should be on a journey in this life. And to be on a journey means you have a start where you're at, but you also have an end. You have a destination. And when he says, "I want you to prosper," it means I want you to see progress on that journey. This year, by the end of it, by the end of this year, it should look different than the start of this year. Amen. You should see your further ahead. You should see progress being made in your family. You should see progress being made in your health. You should see progress being made in your finances. You should see progress being made in your relationships. But the only way to see progress is to see the destination first. You have to have a dream. Years ago, I found a book, and I try to read the book once a year. I'm going to read it here soon, but it's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Great little simple book, but in the book, it talks about beginning with the end in mind, and the principle that is found there is that everything in life has two creations. First, there's an inward creation. Then there is an external creation. And what he talks about in that book is that until you have the inward creation, you'll never have the external creation. So you have to take the time to get a dream on the inside of you. And when I read that years ago, I looked at my life and saw that at one time I dreamed, and you know, you start your career off and you start your life off with these great big ambitions. But I noticed that I'd kind of let those things fall by the wayside. So I made a decision to dream again. And if you haven't dreamed in a long time, I encourage you to start dreaming now. Somebody says, "Well, why is it so important to dream?" Well, think about it. It's impossible to have a dream come true unless you have a dream to start with. Amen. In order to have a dream come true, you've got to dream in the first place. And so even in my life right now, if I'm honest with you, can I be honest with you this morning? Even in my life right now, you know what one of my personal New Year's resolutions is? Is to record my dreams more and to take the time to dream more. It just seems like the last couple of years, I've been living off the fulfillment of dreams I had when I was 24 and 23 and 25. And I look at this building and it's a dream come true. But before I ever had the external creation of this dream coming true out here, I held this building in my heart. I was passionate about it. I was excited about it. And with that, I found myself just kind of relaxing in life. And once again, that's not God's will. God's will is not for you to stay where you're at. It's to make progress on the journey, to continually see goodness and continually see promotion. And so the Lord has dealt with me to dream again. And so I want to encourage you, you've got to take the time to get a vision. You have to take the time to get a dream. Well, how would you do that? Well, sit down and just ask yourself questions. And I know this is simple. Once again, I told you I was not going to impress you with my complexity this morning. I would be incredibly simple. I know this is simple, but I ask myself questions of, who do I want to be? What do I want to be known for? Where would I like to go? What would I like to see? How much money do I need to retire if I ever chose to retire? How much money would I like to earn in a year? What would I like to preach at? Where would I like to go minister in? What nations of the world would I like to set up a Bible school or build an orphanage or those types of things? What in life do I really want? And I'll sit down with those questions for maybe an hour, maybe even a little bit longer than that, and just steadily record my answers. You have to have a dream in order to write the dream. So everyone this year, if you haven't done it already, if nothing else, take the time to dream and ask yourself this question. At the end of this year, where do I want to be? At the end of this year, where do I want to be financially? At the end of this year, where do I want to be physically? At the end of this year, where do I want to be in my marriage, with my family? Where do I want to be in my relationships? Ask yourself those questions and start dreaming again. But notice, it's not good enough, according to Habakkuk 2 and verse 2, to have a dream or to have a vision. What does he tell you to do with it? tells you to write the vision and make it plain. I like that. Making it plain would not be, I want to lose more weight, or I want to lose weight. No, no, no. Make it plain. How much weight would you like to lose? Or I want to make more money. No, 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 no. Make it plain. Make it specific. How much more money would you like to make? Or I want to see my relationships improve. That's not making it plain. Making it plain would be, I want to take 2 date nights a month, or spend more one-on-one time with the kids by taking each kid out for 1 hour to the park a week. Whatever it may be, make it plain. But then he said, don't only just write it and make it plain. He also said that he may run that does what? Readeth it. He said, after you write the vision, after you've made the vision plain, I am not to just leave it alone. Meaning, whatever I write down in January should be visited in February, should be visited in March, should be visited in April and May, and all throughout the year you come back and read the goals that you wrote down. Why? So you don't forget the goals that you've made. He said, I want you to have a vision, I want you to write the vision, and then I want you to read the vision. Now, what's interesting to me is that the world out there has discovered a lot of these what we would call biblical principles and applied them and seen it work for them without knowing that they were applying biblical principles. But I found this study by a professor emeritus at Virginia Tech named Dave Cole. And this is what he found out. He did a big study on success and those types of things. And he found that people who regularly write their goals, now regularly write means that not only did they write it once, but they keep coming back to their goals to write them down. He found that people who regularly write their goals earn 9 times more than people who don't. Think about that. I just told you how to make 9 times more money. He said people who regularly, everyone say regularly, write their goals earn 9 times more than people who don't. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, come back and read it. He also found that 80%, roughly 80% of Americans don't have goals. Meaning if you walked up to 80% of the people out there and you asked 8 out of 10, or you asked 10 people, do you have goals? 8 of them would say, what are you talking about? They'd have to think about it. They'd have to kind of ponder it. They don't know off the top of their head what their goals are. What's the problem with that? If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. You've got to set a destination. And 80% of Americans don't have one. Then he found that 16% of Americans have goals, meaning they were able to articulate, these are my goals for life, but they had not written those goals down. Roughly 3% had goals and had written those goals down, but then there was 1% of Americans, 1% of Americans who wrote their goals down, had goals, wrote their goals down, and then would repeatedly over the year look at the goals that they wrote, and guess what he found out about that 1%? All of them had a net worth, or not all of them, the average of that 1% had a net worth of over $1 million. It was the only group of all the groups he surveyed that had that about them. So with that, there is power, both spiritually and naturally, to taking the time to dream, write that dream down, look at that dream regularly. There is power to that. So how many of you can make a commitment to me and before God, make it before God, you're in church, that you will take the time to write your goals down this year? Amen. Make a commitment to write your goals down this year, and not only commit to writing those goals down, but commit to not just writing them down, but commit to reading them regularly. How many of you can do that? Put it in a place where you can see it. Put it on your fridge. Ladies, get your house ugly and just put it on your, just tape the goals everywhere. Read the goals. Read the goals. Now, we're going to make this easy for you. When you walked in, or as easy as we can make it for you, when you walked in, you got a little pamphlet talking about 21 days of prayer. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But in that pamphlet, you had a little cutout that was connected to it, and you can detach it. And on this, you'll see that we've set up where you can write down spiritual goals, personal goals, financial goals, family goals, and people you want to see come close to God this year, where you can write all of those things down. Now, some of these things may bleed over, meaning some of your financial goals could be family goals, or some of your spiritual goals could be personal goals. But we just wanted to ask a couple of questions like, what are your spiritual goals, or things like that, to elicit answers. So for you, your spiritual goals could be, I want to read the Bible through, or I want to stick to a Bible reading plan. For you, it could be, I want to take the time I was spending on Facebook. Come on, somebody. Take the time I was spending on Facebook and give that to the Lord in prayer. It could be a spiritual goal would be to lead a life group, or a spiritual goal would be to come to church whenever you are in town. Regardless of how you feel, I'm going to come to church. If I'm in town, I'm coming to church. Or a personal goal could be you want to run a marathon or lose 30 pounds. Financial goal could be whatever you want to make it to be debt-free, or to pay off your credit cards, or to take a Dave Ramsey class. All of those things. So you write all of these things down, but I also want to encourage you to write down the people you want to see come close to God. In your life, there are some people who are distant from God, and you know about it, and their life has touched yours, meaning you have them in your heart. This year, I want you to write the names of those people down. I want you to put it in the forms. I want you to fill the forms out, and I want you to think about your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members, who maybe they are saved, but maybe they're far away from God, or maybe they're not saved at all, and they're definitely far away from God. I want you to write down the names of those people, and I want you to adamantly believe God for their salvation. How many of you know your prayers can make the difference in their life? Your prayers could make the difference between a marriage falling apart and a marriage staying together. Your prayers could be the difference between someone living and dying and going to hell versus them living and dying and going to heaven. So how many of you can think of some people you could pray for this year? Wonderful. Write it all down. Now, if you're a dream teamer, we got any dream teamers in the room? Amen. If you're a dream teamer, we've got something for you. It is a binder where you can take the message notes that we'll give you periodically this year and actually put them in your binder. It fits right in, and then it's preloaded where you can take more notes. We've got Word of Life paper this year where you can just write down your Word of Life notes on Word of Life paper. And then throughout the year when we start a new series, we'll give you a new insert to put in your binder. Now, if you say, I'd like a binder, we'll get on our dream team. Or you say, well, I'd like a binder, but for whatever reason, I don't want to be on the dream team. You can buy a binder for $5 out there in the bookstore. That's just recouping our costs. But with this, I want to encourage all of you to write your goals down. Now, I pray you're all going to do that. I'm going to do that. But even more than that, this year, I want you to not only write your goals down, I want you to make a decision like never before, to pray over those goals, to pray over those people, to pray over the things you want to accomplish personally, spiritually. I want you to pray over those goals this year, at the start of this year, like you have never prayed before. It baffles me how few people actually pray. I mean, it baffles me. Literally, as a pastor, as someone who's pastored now for 12 years, it baffles me how few people actually pray. I know people pray over their meals. I know people may pray when they go to sleep. I know people before they travel may pray for traveling mercies. I know all of those things. But it baffles me how much people actually pray. And this is why it baffles me. Imagine you set, say, a financial goal, and you had someone come into your life who was incredibly wealthy. You knew they were wealthy. They knew they were wealthy. And they came up to you and they said, Joel, I see you have these financial goals, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make me and all of my resources available to you this year, and I will help you at any time with these goals you have financially if you will just ask me. If you would just ask me, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? Just someone who you knew was one of the world's richest individuals came and said, you know, your financial goals, as big or as small as they may be, I want to help you with those goals if you would just ask me. Or say you had physical goals and you had the world's best trainer in all the world come up to you and say, Joel, I want to help you with your physical goals. I will help you with these things if you will just ask me. And in Scripture, what you see repeatedly is Jesus coming to his followers. And this is what he tells them. Well, let's just look at it. Put it up in John chapter 14 on the screens. Jesus repeatedly would come to his followers, us being those, and he would come to them and make statements like this. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, if you ask me for help, I will make it my personal responsibility to do it in your life, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will what? I will do it. How many of you think it'd be awesome if you had God and Jesus helping you with your goals this year? What does he say you need to do in order to have that happen? You have to ask. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. Jesus didn't stop here, though, and just in John chapter 14. Pull up John chapter 16 on the screens. He said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will what? Receive, that your joy may be full. I love this. It's just a little side note. I read this years ago, that your joy may be full. Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. And as I was reading that, I thought, I'll make a list. What would make my joy fuller? This year, what would make my joy fuller? In life, what would make my joy fuller? And I started making a list of just little simple things that I thought would help my joy and be helpers of my joy. And friends, isn't it interesting that Jesus cares about something as simple as enough? As if it would just help you be more joyful, if it would just help your joy be fuller, I want to bless you with that. I want to help you with that. I just need you to ask me to do it. I want you to start this year off asking your Father like never before. One of my favorite scriptures is in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and it's about King Uzziah, and it just says this, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. God made him see progress. And I want to encourage you this year to start your year off seeking the Lord, that you set aside time, that you carve out time, to just seek the Lord this year like never before. Now, this is where fasting comes in, because this is not just 21 days of prayer. This is also 21 days of fasting. And the beauty of fasting is not dieting. Fasting is not a diet. If you want to diet, diet. But fasting is not dieting. Fasting is saying, I'm going to take out something natural and replace it with something spiritual. Okay, I'm going to take out something natural, and I'm going to replace it with something spiritual. For instance, say you were going to fast food. It would be taking the time you would spend preparing food, eating food, fellowshipping over food, taking that time away and replacing it with seeking the Lord during that time. It could be through prayer, could be through a devotional, could be through reading your Bible, could be through worship. But you're saying the time I would spend on this, I'm going to replace this natural thing with this spiritual thing. But you know what I've found? For a lot of people, food is not their biggest issue. There's a lot of other things that they're spending a lot of time on, especially in our society today. You know, I read a statistic this week, I mean literally this week, that the average American spends, I'll ask you the question first. This shocked me. How much time per day do you think the average American spends on their phone? 6 hours. Whoa, I guess you must know a lot of people who spend a lot of time on their phone. No, the average a day is 2.4 hours. Now, I want to clarify this. This is not work-related. This is not checking emails. This is not on the phone, talking on the phone, working out work. This is simply playing games on the phone, checking apps on the phone, looking at Facebook on the phone, looking at Instagram on the phone. It is a huge, huge time, and I'll go as far as say this, time waster in our society. Now, I get you can get simple joy from it and things like that. But friends, this is on top of people spending time on their computer. It's not counting that time. This is on top of people spending time watching TV. Not on top of that time. What if people took those 2.4 hours that they're spending on Facebook per day, and gave that time to the Lord in prayer? Do you think it would make a difference in their life? I think it would not just make a difference in their life. I think if everybody did that, it would make a difference in the world. I think cities would be changed, nations would be changed, families would be changed. But we're seeking all of these other things, and God says, I'm fine with you seeking some of these things, but friends, he says, I want you to seek me what? First, that I am more important to you than your Facebook status. That I am more important than how many likes you get on Instagram. I want you to seek me more than you seek anything else. And this is what fasting is. Maybe for you it's TV. Maybe TV's been a really stronghold in your life. And maybe you find yourself for just relaxment, just sitting in front of the TV nonstop. I want to encourage you, maybe fast some of that time, if not all of it, and get before God in prayer and pray out this year. Now, one of the scriptures that helped me years ago in prayer, and I go back to it constantly, is found in Isaiah chapter 40, and I'll actually close the sermon with this. Isaiah chapter 40, and let's look here in verse 3 together. He says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley needs to be exalted. Every mountain and hill needs to be made low. The crooked places, they need to be made straight. And the rough places need to be made plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now notice the top of verse 5. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Now what does that mean? The glory of the Lord will be revealed. In Jesus' first miracle, when he turned water into wine, and he did this miracle to bless this family, to bless these people. After he did that, it said, and in this way, Jesus displayed his glory. When you see the glory of the Lord, when the glory of the Lord is revealed in your life, it just simply means you look back and you say, now that was God. You look back at it and say, only God could have done that. Only God could have changed it. When the glory of the Lord is revealed, it just means you and others look back and say, man, the Lord really, really helped us with this. Now notice in verse 5, God says, I want to reveal my glory. But I'm going to ask you a question. When does he say his glory will be revealed? After a path, he calls it a highway, has been made ready for him to travel on. Basically, he says, it's like this. You're here. God and his glory is here, and he wants it revealed, showing up in your life. But between you and God, a path has to be prepared. There's some crooked places that need to be made straight. There's some high places that need to be made low. There's some low places that need to be made high. There's some rough places that need to be made smooth. And he says, if you will take the time to build a highway between you and God, you will see God's glory revealed in your life. Now, guess what he said would build the highway? Your voice. When you pray, you are building a path for God to carry his glory on. And when he's at the end of that path, that glory is revealed in your life. Now, here's the thing. I've been on some good paths, and naturally, and I've been on some bad paths. Have you ever been on a bad road, a bad path? I went to Botswana earlier this year. Man, we just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And we had come off a time of ministry, and the guy, the missionary, wanted to take us fishing. And apparently in this area of Botswana, you could go what they call tiger fishing. And tiger fishing is the most fun fishing I have ever had. Tiger fish, they're kind of like piranha. They have really, really sharp teeth. You do not want to get your finger caught on one of those bad boys. You have to fish with steel line, and they fight coming in, and It's just a blast. So anyway, he was taking up there to us to go tiger fishing for a couple of hours. And so we're driving up there, and I asked the driver how far away it is. And he tells me how many kilometers. I forget how many he says. And I'm calculating in my mind, and I come up with that should take about an hour and a half, you know, an hour and a half drive. So we set out, and we go driving. We're driving up here to go tiger fishing just for a couple of hours. And about 3 hours into the trip, I look down at my watch, and I realize we should have already been there. 3 hours later, I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, we should have been there. It took 7 hours to get to this place just to fish for a couple of hours. Now, it was worth it. Even having to drive the 7 hours back, it was worth it. It was loads of fun. I'll never forget it. But, buddy, I would love if the nation of Botswana would take the time to build a highway, just a highway, from the place where I was to the place I wanted to go. Now, with this in your life, God says, I need a path. I need a path to your family. I need a path to you. And every time you pray, you are building that path. Every time you use your voice, you are building that path. If you're praying for your children, you are building a path from your child to God. If you're praying for your job, you are building a path from your job to God. If you're praying over your goals, you're praying a path from your goals to God. And when that path is completed, God can display his glory. The problem is, in a lot of people's life, God is traveling a little mountainous journey. I mean, he's having to go up, down muddy streams, and he's getting his shoes stuck in the mud and all of these other types of things. And he's got all of this glory he wants to display in people's lives. But what should have happened last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, they haven't seen happen in their life because they have not built a highway. They've given God some mountainous trail. What I want to encourage you to do this year is to go under construction, to lift up your voice and prepare a way. To use an example all of you are probably familiar with, over here in Flowood, does any remember the construction work on Old Ken? Any of you remember that? Oh my goodness, I tell you what, I refused to drive down it, especially in the mornings where they were doing all of that construction. But now the construction is completed, we've got a greater path. Isn't it true that with that greater path equals greater speed? That with that greater path equals greater frustration, that you can get from point A to point B faster because someone took the time to build a better path. This is what prayer is all about. This is why God said, Jesus said, I want you to pray without ceasing. This is why Jesus said, I've called you to be a house of what? A house of prayer. This is why Jesus gave example after example about a friend who needed bread, so he kept knocking on the door of another friend's house asking for that bread. This is why Jesus gave an example about a widow woman with an unjust judge who would just keep coming and asking until she saw her breakthrough. All these people built a path between them and God, and when that path was done, God displayed his glory. I want you to start this year off by writing your goals, and then I want you to pray fervently over them. Not just some little 30-second prayer before you go to bed. I want you to sacrifice some of your time. I want you to sacrifice some of your effort, and I want you to take the time to pray for your goals good. Build a better path. Now, with this, we're going to give you an opportunity to do it, even if you want to do it here. Starting, and this is all on this pamphlet, starting Monday morning, tomorrow morning, we will meet here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock, and we're going to pray. I'll start off talking about the same thing I'm talking about now. We'll talk for about 5 minutes, and then we'll worship a little bit, and then we'll pray. It'll last for an hour. It goes from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. This goes Monday. It goes Wednesday. And then on Saturday, it goes from 9 to 10 here at the church. So with this is a great way that you can come and build a path here. We'll have music playing. The environment will be proper and right, ready for you to pray. It's 6 o'clock, so you can come ugly. We'll all understand. This is not you coming to church. This is coming to pray. And so we understand that, so don't worry about how you look or how your hair looks, all of those types of things. But even if you say, I can't make it, or even you wake up Tuesday morning and we're not meeting, or Thursday morning and we're not meeting, I want you to take some time and just carve it out and pray. Somebody said, well, I'll find time. No. You never find time. You only make time. Make time to pray. Don't try to find it in your schedule. Make time in your schedule to pray and build a path between you, your goals, and God. Amen. Let me pray over you to close this service. Father, we come before you today. We love you, Lord, so much. And we thank you, Lord, for your amazing help in our lives and in our families. And Father, we ask of you to enable this year to be the most fruitful, greatest year we have ever had. We thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, I thank you that as we start this year off, that everyone in this room starts it off with you. And so with that in mind, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you know you are far from God, it could be something as simple as you've never made a decision for him, or it could be something a little bit more interesting. You've made a decision for him, but for whatever reason, you've drifted. Maybe by accident, maybe on purpose. You look at your life and you look at where it could be with him, and you know there's some distance there. The Bible calls this coming to yourself. This is what happened to the prodigal son. One day he just woke up and came to himself, and he realized, my goodness, I've drifted. I'm so far away from home. I'm so far away from the Father. And he knew it. How'd he know it? In his heart, he knew it. He knew it. And he made the decision to go home. And when he did, man, life got so much easier. Got so much better just by coming home. And so today, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. All I'm asking is simply this. Do you need to have your awakening? Do you need to come home? There's no judgment, nothing but mercy. God's not going to condemn you for your sin. He's going to remove it. He's not going to say, how could you have done that? He's going to give you grace to beat that. But you got to come home first. So right now, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Look, it's just between me, you, and God. This morning, if you say, Pastor Joel, that's me. I know I'm far away from God. But I want to come back to him. I want to come home. If that's you, lift up your hand. Without any fear, hesitation. That's all I'm going to ask you to do is just lift up your hand. Hands going up all over the place. Wait, good for you. Start your year off right. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand. Anybody else? See those hands. Anybody else? See those hands. God bless you. Now, everyone in here, just say this prayer with me. Repeat it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that I am forgiven, I am washed clean, and Father, I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself, and I say boldly, I have a fresh start, a new beginning, and this will be the greatest year I have ever seen. In Jesus' name, amen.